I want to explain a bit more deeply why we as a parish have just started last week, started a new season called the Sabbath Summer. And this is where we rest in God and we celebrate the most important things. Now, we've started this season not only because we need to rest, but there's another reason. I've been here now for 5 years as your priest, and it's been a good 5 years, right? Well, thank you, Vi. No. Anyway, so I've noticed something that's happening to a lot of us, and it's this, including me. We keep on falling into the same problems. So a lot of us have had spiritual growth in 5 years, but at the same time, we keep on making the same mistakes in our spiritual life, in our relationships, at work, with regard to our mental health, with regard to our physical health. We keep on making the same mistakes. And one reason why things are not getting better is because we're too busy to get healed. We're too busy to get healed. So we need to slow down for this summer and ask Jesus, how do you want to heal us? The gospel today is called the parable of the Good Samaritan. We all know it. Now, the literal meaning of this parable is anyone who is in need, if someone is in need, they are our neighbor. And we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to be the Good Samaritan to them. But there is a deeper meaning, one seen by the church fathers. And according to this interpretation, the Good Samaritan is not us. The Good Samaritan is? It's Jesus, yeah. And then who's the man lying by the roadside, the wounded man? It is? All of humanity. Very good. So Pope Benedict asked this question, is it not true that man has been alienated, battered, and misused through his entire history? Medieval theologians, they saw the two descriptions of the wounded man in the parable as applying to all of humanity. So number one, it said he was stripped. They saw that to mean that man has lost supernatural grace. Number two, it says he's half dead, meaning we're wounded in our human nature. So all of humanity is separated from God the Father, and then we're all broken in our humanity. Now it says that the man, he goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a 9-hour journey on foot if you're healthy. And it actually goes through the mountains. And it's a very windy road, very dangerous, perfect for ambushes. Now that is a symbol of the journey of life. Because the journey of life is full of dangerous things. Now the priest and the Levite, they pass by, and who do they represent? They represent cultures and religion, which by themselves cannot help us. And now that's often what we do. Whenever we try to get healed, we look to other things apart from God. And then comes the Good Samaritan, Jesus. He will help us. Now we should remember that in the biblical times, the Jewish people looked at the Samaritan people as half Jewish. So they didn't want to be associated with them. They would not talk to them. They were rejected. Well, that's the way we treat Jesus and God. We often see God as foreign, as someone we aren't interested in talking to. But he still comes to help us. He loves us that much. Now, the pouring of the oil and the wine, they symbolize the healing power of the sacraments. The animal on which the Samaritan puts the wounded man represents Father Justin, who has to carry 1,000 people and is driven like a beast. Just kidding. And then the inn represents the church, where Jesus arranges for our care and offers to pay whatever is needed when he returns. Now, there is a great spiritual truth in this parable that's hidden, and it's this. The healing comes when you rest. The healing comes when you rest. So Saint Therese, all the way back in the year 1895, she realized this. She said, in order to perform operations, doctors put their patients to sleep because you need to rest in order for the surgery to happen. So the man in the parable, it says he's half dead. He has to rest in order to be healed. So the Samaritan takes him to the inn. And you know they stay a night because it says that. He has to rest. But it also says the next morning, the Samaritan gives 2 denarii worth 2 days' wages, gives it to the innkeeper. So presumably the wounded man had to stay there more days because he needed to rest. Now, imagine this. Let's say the wounded man says to the Samaritan, No, I'm all good. I got to get back to work. I got email to check. Can you pass me my phone? I want to look at my messages. That's how we are throughout the year. A lot of us are half dead. And we keep on going because we're so busy. And we have no time to be healed. Healing takes humility. Healing takes cooperation. Because it takes humility to say, I've got problems. And it takes humility to say, I've got to do something about it. And it takes cooperation to say, okay, Jesus, I give you permission to heal me. So if we could right now, could we all just collectively, if we all collectively admit in our hearts in an act of humility, just say, I've got problems. And then we go into prayer and we say, Jesus, what do you want to heal in me? And Jesus, how do you want to heal it? Jesus is the divine doctor, and this summer he wants us to rest. All of us, well actually maybe not all of us, but many of us, could benefit just going to a medical doctor just once. That'd be the right thing to do. And a lot of us would benefit if we went to see a counselor, not every week for a whole year, just 3 times. And then all of us would benefit from going to the best place to rest. Where is that? You can point to it. Yes, to the chapel. Or more specifically, in front of Jesus. So even if you're here in the church, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So we come here to rest. So I hope this summer you honestly take a restful vacation. Can you try to find a retreat? A really good spiritual retreat? Can you try and make a good confession? If we can you have to carve out time. If we can carve out time for rest and prayer and healing, then we will accomplish our goal. The goal this summer for all of us is to have the best summer ever, the most restful summer ever. Last week I told you we're going to give you a gift for the summer, so I want to tell you what the gift is now. And the gift is called Formed. So we're going to be offering Formed for 2 months. We've subscribed it for 2 months. You can sign up through our parish website for free, or in your pews you've got the cards with the website to go to directly. So we're offering you Formed because this summer we're not going to be doing a lot of formation here, just to give our leaders rest. Now when it comes to suffering or healing, there is four, for example, that come to my mind that you could listen to these talks. There's one called 15 Things to Do in the Midst of Suffering. There's Anger and Forgiveness, Be a Man, and Calming Emotional Storms. And now we come to the adoration tip of the week. Every week I'll give you an adoration tip. And this week's tip is this: use the right resources. When we go to the chapel, in the hallway there, you'll see these wonderful Catholic books that you can borrow. Don't take home. But you take to the chapel, it's really important. If you're the kind of person who gets distracted or has difficulty praying, always go to the chapel with a book or with your phone, and you go to Formed. And you go to it says community site. The community will be our webpage where we've already pre-selected books on adoration or talks on prayer. So always use the right resources. This past May, a lot of you know I went away to South Dakota for a one-week retreat, and that retreat changed my life. And that is not something I say lightly, and I'll just explain what happened. When I was on the plane, I was praying, and I realized I cheat God. Meaning, as I said last week, I give God time in prayer, but I don't give him undivided attention. Usually when I'm praying in my regular day-to-day life, I'm typically honestly thinking about my ministry. I'm thinking about all of you and all of your problems. So when I landed, I go to my spiritual director, Trudy, and I said, Trudy, whenever I come to retreat, I pray well. But as soon as I go back home, I'm going to fall back into the same trap. And this has been happening now for the 3 years that I've seen you. She said, yeah. You've mentioned this. She said, let's spend the whole retreat dealing with this problem. So this is the problem. I know I should be giving God more undivided attention in prayer. I know I should be sleeping more because it's reasonable. But I keep on making these same mistakes over and over again. And I've basically been doing this my whole entire adult life. Because I've got something in my head, a lot of ideas that make me act a certain way. Now, some of these ideas are good. Some of these ideas are what I would call a distortion. I'll give you two examples. First,